Production support for Soundbites is made possible by listeners and by Coffee by Design, growing a business committed to community and sustainability locally and worldwide. CoffeeByDesign.com.
Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing, and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was ceremonious. Here's today's host, retired talent agent and current 7-time Moth Story Slam champion, Sandy Marks.
All right, so I'm not going to waste any time. I'm just going to introduce Phil Gavin. Are you ready? Give him a big cheer!
When my wife and I were newlyweds, we were pretty broke. Young, broke, and happy. One entertainment we could afford was just drive down the California coast toward Monterey, talking about things we had done, things we wanted to do. It was cheaper to build furniture for our new apartment, so I'd started learning how to do that, and I'd been saving up for a router for shaping wood. And I'd asked my new father-in-law, Tip, for advice on the right tool to buy. But instead, he just gave me his router. He didn't need the little tools much at that point, because he was in the middle of a 15-year project to build a 40-foot wooden boat of his own design. Now, heading into that first Christmas with my new in-laws, the only thing I had really hinted at wanting was a miter box so I could start cutting boards at different angles. I had a feeling Tip would choose a good tool. So Christmas morning lays out like this. Across from me, my beautiful wife, Megan. And my right flank is my mother-in-law. On the sofa next to me, my sister-in-law, Peggy. To my left was Aunt Linda. Aunt Linda was willowy and frail. She'd been in a car accident years before that left her disabled. She was crippled on one side, but filled with this pure and innocent love. She had on a new San Francisco Giants ball cap, and her whole face was a smile. Sitting at the tree was Tip, ready to serve as Santa Claus. He seemed hurried at first. He handed out boxes containing new VCRs for the sisters, a perfect gift for somebody setting up a new household. Linda got a box of See's candy. Now, I'd like to state for the record that I adore See's candy. She got the 1-pound truffles, nuts, and chews. When it came around to me, Tip slowed down. He stood up, adjusted his semi-ironic Christmas suspenders, cleared his throat, and he held forth a box like it was a precious item. "Here," he proclaimed. It was about the size of a box of See's candy, but twice as thick, heavier than it looked. Yeah, with some assembly required, could be a miter box. But what I unwrapped was a Ruger 22 caliber semi-automatic pistol. Now, I grew up in Chicago, and we hated guns. The only bumper sticker we ever had on the family car said, "Handgun Control, Families for Common Sense Gun Regulation." My father actually worked for the NRA, the National Restaurants Association. Yeah, he's famous for saying, "We're the restaurant guys, we're the good guys." So here I am with a handgun in my lap, and so I say, "Wow, what a surprise." Because I was raised with manners. And then it's heavier than I'd imagined. Tip was beaming. Megan said you wanted one. My mother-in-law, Celia, left the room in disgust. in fairness, on one of those drives down the coast, I had said, you know, one thing I've never done before, fired a weapon. I feel like I ought to do that at some point in my life. In retrospect, she may have shared that information out of context. But Tip heard just what he wanted to hear. But now she's in the room every bit as surprised as I am. Tip loved guns. Do we call him a gun nut or a gun collector? I didn't judge him. He grew up on a farm in Missouri. Guns were just part of his life. It was just another tool, a power tool for death. But he found them an engineering marvel, a machine you could hold in your hand that would propel a missile at an awesome speed. So back to the Christmas vibe. Three women in the room can't stand what is going on right now. The sisters were, they were forced to load and fire a weapon at a very young age, and they found it utterly terrifying and grew to despise guns. One man in the room is super excited about having chosen the perfect gift for his first son. And there's me, completely bewildered about what's going on around me. Linda at least has candy. So we go in for a second round of gifts. This was the year I learned from Tip, you can't go wrong with a nice sweater in this family. Linda gets a box of See's chocolate lollipops. When it came to me, Tip gleefully presents me a box about the size and weight of a brick. Okay, I can work with a brick. Apparently, everybody in the room knows what's coming except me. Because what you need with a .22 is 1,000 rounds of copper point bullets. Yeah, in this family, they were raised with the understanding that an unloaded weapon is no more useful than a hammer if you've got a conflict. So just as I had never conceived of 1,000 rounds of ammo as a reasonable Christmas gift, they could never conceive of giving someone a gun without one. Now my sister-in-law Peggy leaves the room in disgust. Megan, despite being painfully aware of all the discomfort around her, has stayed by the tree because she's the best wife in the world. Now Tip reaches into the tree and he hands me a little box about the size of a box of staples. I think, I've got a gun, I've got bullets, what else could a man possibly need? It's definitely not a miter box. No, it's Italian-made Fiocchi 22 caliber hollow point bullets. And there's a little note enclosed, which I read to myself and I force a polite smile. Megan takes the card from my hand and reads it aloud. Them other ones is for target shooting. These uns, spelled with the apostrophe, is for killing. Now, you know that phrase, let's just say he was no rocket scientist. Tip worked for Lockheed in the Missiles and Space Program. He was literally a rocket scientist. If you asked him, Tip, how does TV work? He would pull out several different colored pens from his pocket protector, and he would diagram it in such a way that it actually made sense. But he's used the vernacular here in the note, because he thought it'd be kind of funny. Now even Megan heads for the kitchen. Tip finally realizes he's lost the room. He starts to backpedal. You know, varmints. If you need to take out a squirrel or something. Now remember, this is Sunnyvale, California, the headquarters of Lockheed Martin. The idea of bagging a couple of squirrels in Sunnyvale, it remains one of my favorite mental images. Linda, in the meantime, has finished an entire pound of truffles, nuts, and chews. She later went on to consume a full Christmas dinner, finished off with a lollipop. It was remarkable, the sheer fortitude. Now, a few years later, Megan and I had moved to Chicago, where we compiled a laundry list of reasons to despise guns. And one morning, we got the call the tip had passed away. He had died in his sleep aboard his boat in the marina. So we flew back to California to scatter his ashes in the sea. And they read his will. It was simple. The bulk of his estate went to his wife, Celia. And the only other person mentioned in the will was me. I was to be given his Ruger 357 Magnum. So now I am the unwitting owner of a little pistol and a big pistol. I hate guns. I have so many reasons anyway. But I think Tip intended for me to protect his beautiful, perfect daughter. But I also know that an unloaded weapon is no more useful than a hammer for home protection. I've got a really nice hammer. From time to time, though, I'll just bring the locked box down from the attic, and I'll open it up and just stare at them. They represent the power of death, but they're an engineering marvel, a machine you can hold in your hand to propel a missile at an awesome speed. And they serve as a tangible reminder, somewhat heavier than I expected, of a man who is a little bit larger than life, someone who could choose the very best and the very worst of gifts. A gun nut who I miss terribly.
All right, so let me just tell you a little bit more about him, because it is really amazing. So Phil Gavin is the owner of the Honey Exchange in Portland, Maine. Yes, he's been a beekeeper. For the past 13 years, during which his hobby turned into a passion and the passion became a business, he gives dozens of talks about beekeeping every year, thrilling students young and old. He's an active member of the Cumberland County Beekeeping Club, the Maine State Beekeeping Association, and has been certified as a master beekeeper by the Eastern Apiculture? Apiculture Society. Phil has mentored several new beekeepers and currently maintains a dozen colonies in various locations. So stay on his good side, everybody. Another hand for Phil!
If you want to know more about today's storyteller, well, you're in luck. Let's join our host backstage, now in conversation with today's teller.
Hi, Phil. So tell me, what is your connection to Maine?
Actually, I ended up in Maine as part of a great big misunderstanding. My wife and I were ready to move from Chicago, and we thought we were going to end up in Portland, Oregon. When we were getting ready to go out and explore that, two independent parties said, oh, you guys are going to love Maine, because we had just said Portland, and we had never considered it before that, and came back, and we're like, I guess we should check this out, because there are people that we trust. So we came here and immediately fell in love with the place.
Oh, my God.
And I'm never leaving.
So what got you into telling stories, being a storyteller?
I took a stand-up comedy class, and during the class, people were informing me that I'm really more of a storyteller than a comic, because I would tell these long yarns. And they're like, yeah, you really need to tighten that down to about 30 seconds. So I thought, okay, I've heard that, and now maybe I should try. Yeah, I was trying my best to be funny, but yeah, I just, you know, when I'm in a group at a dinner party, I'm just sort of spinning a yarn about whatever, if anybody will listen to me.
That's cool. And how do you prepare for being on stage? So what's your process?
Mainly I sit around and stress out about it. But I try to sort of write a rough script from something that I have thought about and then record myself and then listen to that and write that down and try to edit it down to the essence of it and then sort of kind of repeat and listen, edit, pair, and well, we'll see if that works out.
And last question, tell us some nugget or detail that's connected to your story but that won't be in it, that didn't make the final cut.
Yeah, so my story, it's about getting a handgun for Christmas that was totally unexpected to me. And there was originally a middle part where we went out on my father-in-law's boat to shoot some target practice off of the boat. And even though I grew up just hating guns, trying to sink a wine bottle off of a boat while it's bobbing in the waves and the boat is bobbing on a different waves. It's actually quite challenging, and it turned out to be a ton of fun. And even my wife, who hates guns, she really got into it just for that one special day with my father-in-law.
Well, thank you very much.
Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to GWI and Downey's Pension Services. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, can be found online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org. Thanks for listening.